on the outside and bold on the inside. A cup that dares to mix crunchy bits of Butterfinger right into its creamy, smooth, peanut buttery goodness. A cup that grabs life by the wrapper and says, yeah, life, give me more of your crispity, crunchity Butterfinger bits. Smooth and crunchy Butterfinger peanut butter cups. Bolder than bold.
This is Larry Connors. I want to remind you, this is a good time to call John Beal and have our professionals take a look at your roof. Get any issues fixed before we get heavy thunderstorms. And John Beal has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And with John Beal, you get our low price guarantee. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Get booked on the schedule before the bad weather. Call the roofing company I'm proud to endorse. Call my friend John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS.
The Big Stuff.
Mr. Big Stuff. Huh.
My nickname in high school.
Is the Big Stuff.
Not Mr. Big Stuff. Mr. Who Do You Think You Are? This portion of the show is brought to you by Window World, the number one replacement window company in the United States. The original $189 window company, online at windowworldst.louis.com. I am Paul Harris, Dan Strauss, and Ian Geis in the studio with me, and now news director Colin Jeffrey switches that off and turns on his alter ego, Showbiz Boy, for the Showbiz segment of the show. Hi, Colin. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing just fine. So there are four movies that are opening in St. Louis today. You have seen one, and I have seen one. And we'll get to the ones that we did not get to in a moment. But I think the one you went to see is going to be the big box office winner.
Yeah.
And that is Independence Day Resurgence.
Yes.
Which is a documentary about the Brexit, right?
Exactly. You got it. They were prescient. They forecast this a year ago and made a huge blockbuster about it. No, it's a sequel that does something that I like about sequels, and that it's 20 years after the original Independence Day. And in the movie, 20 years have passed since the events of the first Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back yesterday before I saw the movie, and I watched the original Independence Day. I hadn't seen it in a while, but more importantly, I just wanted to see if there were any questions that I really wanted answers outside of what happened to Will Smith, because Will Smith is not in the second one.
Okay, well, it seems to me like that would be a major problem for the movie, that you don't have Will Smith in there. You don't have a blockbuster superstar movie guy who is going to be the attraction for this movie.
I think they got Vivica A. Fox back, though, right?
Yeah, and, you know,
that's surprising they found an opening.
Well, we
got
you know, the guy who plays Thor, Chris Hemsworth.
Uh-huh.
They got his brother. So he's in it.
Okay. How many Hemsworths are there?
And what's his name? Of Taxi fame, Judd Hirsch.
Judd Hirsch is back.
Judd Hirsch is back.
Okay.
Robert Loggia is back, despite the fact he's been dead since December.
Yeah.
And he looks dead in the movie.
Does he?
Well, yeah. They may have filmed this scene with him at some point. I don't know, but he's in it. He doesn't speak, and he looks old and decrepit.
What about Bill Pullman? It's 20 years later in movie years.
Yes.
So he can't still be the president.
Oh, no, he's not. He's
the ex-president who's going to lead us to the great Independence Day.
Yeah.
Well, he's crazy now.
Oh, most of them do go crazy after they get out.
Okay. Well, especially he had a tumultuous.
He had a close encounter
run.
White
House blew up.
Yeah, that's right.
They never say, because the movie, the original Independence Day, begins when we're introduced to Bill Pullman's character, and he has approval ratings below 40%.
Mm-hmm.
And he admits, you know, I didn't evacuate the cities early enough. Millions of people died in America. I should have evacuated them earlier. But then he leads everyone to beat the aliens. Did he win re-election? They don't answer this.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he did. But he's now nuts.
What about the White House? Is there a new White House in this?
Oh, yeah. There's a fancy new White House.
Did they build it to look just like the old White House?
Pretty much, except they've now taken all this alien technology, because we blew up these ships and some crashed. We took this alien technology and merged it with our own. So they actually say this, like, it's 20 years later, and due to this alien technology, there's been no war. We've pulled together as a world, and
okay.
It's a science fiction movie.
I know.
Emphasis on fiction.
Fiction, yeah.
Yes. And we're all better for it now, because we've we're ready. But at the same time, they realize aliens might be coming back. And so they've been constructing defenses against these aliens using alien technology. Sound logic. Everything's fine.
Okay.
I actually like the setup of this movie, that it's 20 years later.
Let me just ask you one movie about the original, because I have not seen it since it first came out.
Okay.
It ended, as I recall, with Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum flying up to the alien mothercraft.
Yes.
If I can use a science fiction term.
Mothership? We're so close.
In one of their own alien craft.
That crashed at Roswell in 1941.
And they took it up there with a Mac computer and uploaded a virus into the mothership, and that's what blew up the aliens.
That's what took down the shield so they could blow up the aliens.
Oh, okay.
And then they used Morse code to rally the troops around the world to let them know they were going to take down the shields.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So, all these little nuances you forgot.
Well, again, I haven't seen it since it first came out, but I do have to ask this as a tech guy. As you know, I am the tech guy, my nickname in high school. That was because I was on the AV squad in charge of film strips. But
your sound's not synced up, Paul. Good job.
Boop. Stop saying boop. Old people are laughing hysterically at the film strip joke. like Dan. So here's my question. As the tech guy, have they upgraded their operating system?
Yes. Yes.
Because that Mac was 20 years ago, and you know now we have...
We've got alien technology. We've got like hover ships. There's all sorts of odd, just allusions to the technology.
Does it take place in modern day, or is it still?
Well, no, I guess it's modern day, but
a different modern day because
we've got alien tech. We got
right
shot way ahead because
do we have flying cars in the alien technology world?
That's a good. I didn't see many cars, but I think that
Alien technology if they don't have flying cars?
They have regular cars, but our helicopters don't need props. They're just like hover copters now, and the powerful people use them to get around.
Okay.
So we've got this alien technology. Everything's good, except this is where the movie gets a little convoluted. Bill Pullman and... So the president, the ex-president, and several other characters have these visions, and they keep scribbling this emblem. And clearly, as the audience, you're like, well, this is something to do with aliens, but you don't know. And it gets really convoluted as to why they can see this, and goes into the history of some characters that, to be honest, you don't really care about. Like, it's just, I don't care about the mythology. Bring on the aliens. Well, sure enough, the aliens show up. But what we didn't know is the aliens we defeated in the first ones, where, mind you, the size of the mothership was it was like 53 kilometers. It was a good size ship.
Okay.
This ship that's approaching us now is 3,000 miles in diameter.
Now, you just played with my mind there, because first you said kilometers, and then you switched to miles.
Yeah, well, they did that.
Dan, how many kilometers per mile, Dan?
I don't know. A couple.
A couple.
So, they broke away from the kilometers.
Right.
And went back to miles.
That's what Brexit was all about.
Yes.
Leave the kilometers behind, let's go to miles. Okay. Yeah. So 3,000 miles,
it's enormous.
That's the size of the ship.
And so it lands covering the Atlantic Ocean, spanning from Europe to the East Coast, and causes enormous devastation.
Without England.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. So, and they actually make a joke about it. Jeff Goldblum makes a joke and says, they always love going after the landmarks. Like, he actually says it, because they're flying near Big Ben, and Big Ben gets blown up. Jeff Goldblum is still with the U.S. government, and he is actually, like, in charge of examining the alien tech. So he's more familiar with it. And it's at this point that humanity realizes we're in trouble. But the story doesn't actually center on Jeff Goldblum or the new president or the old president or any characters from the first one. It centers on the next generation, one of whom is Will Smith's son, one of whom is President Whitmore, Bill Pullman's daughter, who's now old enough, and the other one is Liam Hemsworth, who's just there to be a handsome guy.
Okay.
And so it centers on their story, how they're the next generation and have only grown up after an alien attack, and they're the ones who are going to have to lead us back.
Okay.
That's as much as I'm going to tell you, because it's got, you know, it's got, I guess, twists and turns in there. But it's not fun to talk about a plot of this because it's thin. That's not the point. The point is to go look at big explosions and technology and Liam Hemsworth.
Now, I do need to say about this movie that there was supposed to be a press screening of Independence Day Resurgence on Monday night.
Yes.
It was canceled at the last minute, and I asked somebody from the movie promotion company here in town, when have you rescheduled it for, and she told me there's not going to be a press screening.
Yes.
When they are that open about it, and the way she said it, I could tell from the tone in her voice, that tells you something about the quality of the movie, that the movie company essentially doesn't want to have critics go see this movie because they know critics are going to hate the movie, and yet they want to open it up and have a big opening weekend.
Yes.
You paid to go see it last
night. Yes, I did.
Because it opened up on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
And what do you give it on a scale of 10?
Well, I have to say something before I rate it, because this is important. If you liked the original Independence Day, a large part of why you liked it is it was a 90s action movie. Mm-hmm. It was just big and dumb and special effects. And in 1996, those special effects were amazing.
Yes.
They were the best.
Yep.
The other thing that it relied on is the charm of three people: Jeff Goldblum, Randy Quaid, and Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them are gone from this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have anyone to replace him. And Jeff Goldblum can only carry it so much.
Yeah.
So you're likely going to go see a movie this weekend, and this is the movie you'll probably go see because it's the biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
What I would recommend is go see it on the biggest screen possible, not because the graphics are anything great. They're good, but we've seen all this before. There's nothing jaw-dropping in it. It's just, huge explosions.
But this is the kind of event movie you want to see on a big screen.
Yes. And there are funny jokes. I saw it in a smaller theater because it was the only one playing nearby me. I didn't want to drive a million miles to get to a big screen. And there were jokes that I think would have gotten better laughs when there are a lot of people. Instead, when it's like 13 other people, no one's going to be that guy who's like, ha, 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 the big giant laugh.
Yeah.
And so it sort of fell flat. Go see it in a big screen with a bunch of other people around you, and I think you'll have a good time.
Okay.
It's critic proof, and so I don't feel bad saying, man, I'm going to give it a 4 out of 10, but that's because I'm nostalgic for the first one.
Yeah.
If you've never seen the first one, holy smokes, don't waste your time.
Don't waste your time in the new one, you mean?
Yeah. Okay. Don't waste your time going to see
it. I was
going to
ask you, it's a whole new generation 20 years later who may not have seen it. The teenagers of today never saw the first one. If they go and this is their only experience to Independence Day,
it's garbage.
Yeah, okay.
It'd be like if you never saw the original Jurassic Park and all you saw was Jurassic World, you'd be like, well, that was disappointing.
Yeah, what's the big deal
fuss
about this? Yeah,
so it's rough, but I mean, if you go just saying, hey, I'm going to watch some aliens and humans duke it out, sure, you'll have fun.
Box office prediction before you give it. I will point out, last weekend, there was a little movie that came out last weekend that I asked you to make a prediction about. Do you remember what your prediction was?
I said 127, I think, or 126.
For what movie?
Finding Dory.
Yes. You said it'll probably break the record for animated opening weekend, which was 121 million.
Mm-hmm.
And you said probably 126, 127. What did it do in the end?
136.
136. It broke the record.
Whoa, Colin, very nice.
Yeah, Showbiz Boy strikes again.
It was a big weekend.
So what will Independence Day Resurgence do this weekend?
I think it's going to do north of $100 million.
Wow, really?
Yeah, just there's what other blockbusters are out right now?
Finding Dory.
But I mean, I'm talking like action block, like a summer movie.
Oh yeah.
So
okay.
What's that movie with Dwayne Johnson? What's
Central that? Intelligence.
Central
with Kevin
Intelligence.
Hart?
Yeah, that's a comedy though. That's a buddy comedy.
Okay.
It's just the comedies have a ceiling on them because they just comedies don't have that huge draw.
Okay, Independence Day Resurgence, PG-13.
Yeah.
Teenagers.
Don't worry. I mean, there's a couple bad words. There's nothing super objectionable in this. It's, you know, a lot of implied death.
All right. The next movie we're going to review is the one that I saw a couple of nights ago. And I'm going to tell you right now, do not take young children to see this movie. The movie is called The Shallows. 41 years after Steven Spielberg made Jaws, somebody else has finally made another good shark movie.
Okay.
This is a movie about Blake Lively. Her character, Nancy, is on vacation in Mexico, and she has dropped out of medical school and is going surfing down in Mexico, and she is being taken to this really, 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 really secluded beach that she knows about because her mother had gone surfing there when she was first pregnant with young Nancy. And so she has wanted to go back there and has convinced some local to take her there and drop her off at the beach, and it's an empty beach. And she takes off her outer garments, and she's got the bikini underneath, and she puts a wetsuit on the top, and she waxes the surfboard, and she gets out there, and she sees that there are two other guys out there, two young Mexican guys. She knows some Spanish, but not enough to really have a conversation with them. But they warn her about, okay, there are rocks over here, especially when it gets to be low tide. You'll get to see them more, but right now you can surf and not worry about them. And there's fire coral. You want to know, not anybody who's gone scuba diving knows about fire coral. That stuff, once you just rubs against your skin, wow, it feels like it burns. That's why it's called fire coral. And so they tell her about a couple of those things, and the three of them then surf these pretty good-sized waves. And I don't know who the stunt surfer is who did the work for Blake Lively, but she's very, very good, and the cinematography makes it really look like Blake Lively is actually doing that. And then those two guys leave, and now she's alone in the water, not way out on the ocean. She can see the beach. She's a couple of hundred yards from the beach. And there's no one else around. Those guys are getting ready to leave. They're loading up their truck, and they're about to leave the beach when she gets attacked by a shark. A big shark, a great white shark. And that starts the story rolling. The real meat of the story starts then, because even if she could be heard by those guys a couple hundred yards on the beach, if you've ever been on the beach and you've been out in the water, you know you can shout back to people on the sand and they can't hear you because of the pounding of the surf and the whole atmosphere around them. And so she is really, really alone out there. It's her and the shark for the middle 45 minutes of this movie. And how is she going to get out of that water after being attacked by the shark, which bites her on the leg and she's bleeding? And how is she going to possibly get out of there? She gets up onto a rock at one point, but she knows that it's one of the rocks that they were talking about, that it's okay at low tide, but once high tide comes back and the water comes back over that rock, she's going to be exposed to this shark. Shark can't get her when she's on top of the rock, but when the rock is underwater, shark can get her again. There's a seagull who also was hurt that is also on the rock with her, which I thought at one point, and I'm glad they didn't do this, I thought they were going to turn into Wilson from Castaway, right, and have her having conversations, one-sided conversations. There's a tiny little bit of that, but not enough to make it obnoxious. It really is a survival story of this woman who is out there with this devastating killing machine in the ocean. You do get to see some shots of what the shark looks like, particularly when it's attacking and particularly when it's going by. And there are at least a couple of scenes where every single person in the movie theater that I saw it in made this sound. Because something happens that frightens the crap out of you with that shark. There are tense moments where her leg is dangling off the rock just a little bit, and here comes the shark, and oh, she picked her leg up at just the right time. It sounds cliche, but it's really well done. And here is the difference between this and Jaws. Jaws came down to essentially Robert Shaw, Richard Dreyfuss, and Roy Scheider on a boat. We know they should have used a bigger boat, but it's the three of them on that boat out there hunting a shark way out in the ocean. They can't see land from where they are. And so when things go badly, they are way out there. In this case, you've got a woman who knows how to handle herself in the water. She's a good surfer. She's in shape. She's only 200 yards from the beach. It's not deep ocean water that she's in the midst of. And yet this unstoppable killing machine is swimming around and, you know, just wants to get her. And how she has to get herself out of that scenario is very, very well done. The cinematography is really beautiful. I enjoyed this movie a lot. I give it an 8 out of 10.
Wow.
But do not Do not take young kids. There were some young kids at the screening that I saw the other night.
That's awful.
5, 6, 7-year-old kids.
Oh, man.
Why would never get in the ocean.
Well, not only will they never get in the ocean. Well, I'm going to get to that in a second. I guarantee you those kids didn't get to sleep that night or probably for the next few nights. The scenes in this with the shark are nightmare-inducing scenes. So don't take little kids. And if you're the kind of person who doesn't like to be scared, it's not a horror movie in any way. It's a very tension-filled movie of her trying to survive. If that's too much for you, don't go see this movie. But I think for everybody else, it's very, very good. Now, you mentioned not going in the water. After Jaws came out in the summer of 1975, and it really was the first blockbuster movie,
mm-hmm.
the first movie that went over the top in terms of playing in theaters for months and months and months, the impact it had on beach communities. We don't have that all that much here in the St. Louis area, but on beach communities, you know, you go down to Destin, Florida, or Cancun, Mexico, or the coast of Carolina, or any of those places where the tourism is completely based on it being a beach community, they will tell you that their businesses died because the movie scared people out of the water. Literally. They did not go on beach vacations that entire summer after Jaws came out. Now, The Shallows will not have that effect.
Good.
But here's the effect it's going to have. If you do ever take the family down to Destin or Panama City or somewhere else in Florida or down to Cancun or any other beach anywhere else, when you're walking off the beach into that water and you're about to take that first dive into the water, you're going to think about this movie.
Wow.
And you're going to be looking around in the water and making sure everything seems okay. And you're never going to want to do it alone like she did. But I liked it a lot. 8 out of 10 for The Shallows.
And I wanted to go back to Independence Day because I looked at something that I hadn't before to talk about the box office.
Yes.
I'm going to revise this hugely. This is bad.
Okay.
They barely made $4 million last night. Dory made $9 million.
In its first night.
In its first night.
Okay.
So let's cut my prediction in half. That's really bad. And the even sadder part is they've already announced Independence Day 3.
Really?
Yep. And when you get to the end of the movie, you're going to groan because you'll see it coming. But yeah, that's really bad. So this is going to be a big flop because it cost a lot of money to make and didn't have Will Smith. So I would now be amazed if it...
If they make Independence Day 3?
Well, no, I think they're too far into it probably already. Like, they'd have to pour a lot of money out of... They probably spent millions getting script and scouting locations and all that
stuff.
How
much do you think a movie like that cost to make? 30, 40, 50?
Independence Day?
Yeah.
$150
million to make that movie.
Yeah, I'd say that's a safe bet.
And what do you think it's going to open at now this weekend?
Maybe 50 to 60.
Mm, that's considered a flop in Hollywood.
Well, especially because they have to make about 500, or at that rate, what is it, 150? And they've got to make over $300 million before they start making money in Hollywood accounting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's bad.
That's not good.
But hey, number three. And, yeah. You know, why not? Let's milk it.
Two other quick things about The Shallows that I forgot to mention in my review. Number one, the length of this movie, perfect. 85 minutes.
Oh, wow. Oh.
You go to a 7 o'clock show, you're out by 8:30. It's really, really perfect. And the one thing about this movie that bugged me, I liked the movie, but one thing bugged me. As I mentioned, she's on a secluded beach. First, she's being driven through this secluded jungle that only really has a dirt road through it, and then she's dropped off on a beach where there essentially is no humanity. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of Mexican guys there who are surfing, and that's it. And yet, wherever she goes, on land, perfect cell phone service.
Hey!
You could be driving down Highway 40 and you can't keep a phone call going the entire distance of your ride home, and yet she's doing it with video, by the way. She's FaceTiming with her sister from this secluded beach in Mexico. Right!
There's a stoplight by our house, and if I'm stopped too close to it, I don't get cell phone service. I'm not kidding. It's a stoplight.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, can't get service here.
You should go to the secluded beach in Mexico.
Got to back up 6 feet.
No problem there whatsoever. Take a break, and we'll come back with more showbiz stuff here in a moment on the Big 550 KTRS.
And we're going to get a check on traffic right now with Frank Ladd.
Hey, Dan, working with an incident southbound 55 over on the right lane at 3200 South Broadway, so you can see some pockets of volume approaching there. Also going to see delays headed towards the roadwork near Revis Barracks from about the river to Pear. Westbound on Highway 64, you're already on the brakes now between Vandeventer and McCausland. Eastbound 64, heavy as well, headed towards the Poplar from before Grand. Northbound 55 ramping onto the Poplar was a heavy stretch this afternoon. Southbound on Highway 270 today, seeing those pockets of volume making your way between Olive and Highway 64. And we're flying over Highway 270 and Big Bend now, and out my window, not seeing the accident that was reported southbound on Highway 270 at Big Bend, so it looks like we're moving fairly well through that stretch. Westbound Highway 70, making your way across to the Blanchette Bridge, going to see a heavy pocket approaching the roadwork near 5th Street, and Frank Scott Parkway is back open now west of 159. Heavy westbound on 64 headed towards Lake St. Louis from about Highway K in pockets. This update is brought to you by GoDaddy. GoDaddy gives you the tools, service, and know-how to make you go. No wonder millions of businesses and people go with them. Go you, GoDaddy. Frank Lennon of the KTRS Vincent Mortgage Airborne Traffic Center.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage, 314-839-9999, NMLS number 2250-95. When severe weather strikes, turn first to your official weather station.
The Big 550, KTRS.
KTRS.
Depend on it. This is a special news alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service is now accepting reduced settlements from consumers on back taxes, resulting in back taxes reduced by thousands of dollars. An open phone line has been established by Federal Tax Relief for consumers to call and see if you qualify for this reduction. To ensure your financial stability during this decline in the economy, take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-905-6849. That's 1-800-905-6849. If you owe back taxes to the IRS, there's no need to fear anymore. The IRS is now accepting reduced settlements from consumers, resulting in tax debts reduced by thousands of dollars. For your free information and to see if you qualify for your reduction, call the Federal Tax Relief Hotline, 1-800-905-6849. 1-800-905-6849. That's 1-800-905-6849.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. So call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. How much can you save? How about a 50 by 100 foot building for under $35,000? So don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first. Call 888-98-STEEL today and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 888-98-STEEL. That's 888-98-STEEL. Call today and save thousands. 888-98-STEEL. That's 888-987-8335.
Cheap and fast may work for a quick lunch or a haircut, but what it doesn't work for is floor covering. Listen to that voice that's telling you that what sounds too good to be true is a mistake. Instead, when it's time for new flooring, do it right the first time. Call a member of the Flooring Industry Council, whose install floor layers have 4 years of classroom and hands-on training in all types of flooring materials, backed by companies with decades in the business and extensive experience working for St. Louis's leading businesses and homeowners. Cheap and fast may be okay for a cup of coffee and a donut, but it doesn't work for floor covering. For a list of contractors who will leave you with the assurance that you made the right decision, contact the Flooring Industry Council. Call 314-968-3522 or visit ficstl.org. Again, that's 314-968-3522 or ficstl.org.
Guess what's going on at Appliance District? Discounters, a huge sale on quality Bosch built-in appliances and dishwashers. For that creative touch in your kitchen, Bosch has side-swing convection wall ovens, induction cooktops that will heat quicker than gas, and steam ovens for healthy cooking. Finish that built-in kitchen with the quietest dishwasher in the industry. As always, at Appliance Discounters, you'll get these appliances at the lowest price, and for a limited time, receive 10% back with a purchase of three or more select Bosch appliances. Shop any of our six locations or online at theappliancediscounters.com.
Find your creativity and let your ingenuity fly with a visit to Schaefer's Hobby Shop. For over 70 years, hobby and craft enthusiasts have made Schaefer's the source of their hobby and craft materials. From beads and jewelry to model rockets, railroads, and remote control toys, Schaefer's is the ultimate store for the entire family. One visit to Schaefer's Hobby Shop on Gravois near Lindbergh can be the beginning of a lifetime of creativity. Online at schaefershobby.com. Again, that's schaefershobby.com.
Vincent Mortgage is more than just a mortgage company. We work hard to support our community by helping families find their dream home, consolidate their debt, or upgrade their existing homes. Find us on Facebook, download our app, or visit VincentMortgage.com for great information on how to reach all your family's financial goals. Vincent Mortgage, 314-839-9999.
Come visit us at 12801 Flushing Meadows Drive, St. Louis, Missouri, 63131. NMLS number 225095.
The Vintage Bliss Market takes over Westport Plaza this Saturday, June 25th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, June 26th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Customers can shop for vintage, antique, handmade, and repurposed goods from over 80 vendors. Beyond shopping, you can enjoy live music, giveaways, workshops, face painting, balloon art, and food and drink from local restaurants. Admission to the Vintage Bliss Market is free. Visit westportstl.com for details.
I'm Jim.
I'm John. It's the Inside Out Show.
John Shea and Jim McMillan will not be in the studio this Saturday.
We're off instead of being on.
They'll be live on the air from 11 to 1 at Kitchenland, 201 West High Street in Edwardsville.
So we are on the air.
Stop by and see how Kitchenland can create the kitchen of your dreams. Kitchenland is a fourth-generation family business with an A-plus rating with a Better Business Bureau. Join the Inside Out Show on location this Saturday at Kitchenland.
Stop by and say hi to Jim and I.
For more, go to kitchen-land.com.
Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. Had the pleasure of seeing Joe Walsh do this song last Friday night out of Riverport. Great double bill. Opening act was not really an opening act. Paul Rogers and Simon Kirk and the rest of Bad Company. And by the way, Paul Rogers still has one of the top 10 voices in rock and roll history and sounded great. Which is why I was a little bit annoyed when on a couple of songs he would turn the microphone around and tell the audience, you sing this part, you sing this chorus. To which my attitude is, I paid good money to have you sing it.
Maybe that's how his voice has stayed good all these years.
Yeah.
You got to conserve it.
Okay, but I don't want to hear 10,000 amateurs singing your song. I paid to see you sing Shooting Star or Can't Get Enough or whatever it was. And then Walsh closed the show, and he was really, really good. Did stuff from the James Gang, did stuff from his solo career, Life's Been Good and other things. And, of course, did a couple of Eagles songs, including Life in the Fast Lane. And as a tribute to the late Glenn Frey, he and his backup singers did Take It to the Limit. And it was really, really beautiful. The Eagles, by the way, have been named one of this year's Kennedy Center honorees, along with Al Pacino, James Taylor, Mavis Staples, and pianist Martha Argerich. There's always somebody from the world of classical music or ballet or opera who's that fifth person who nobody's ever heard of except people in that world, and that's who that is. The Eagles actually were set to be recognized last year at the Kennedy Center, but they had to back off because Glenn Frey was sick. And, of course, since then he's died, and so when they do the ceremony on December 4th, which will air on CBS on December 27th, it'll essentially be a bittersweet reunion of the band and memorial to Glenn Frey. Speaking of TV stuff, there is a show that debuts Sunday night on Showtime that, Colin, I know you're looking forward to because you have told me that one of your favorite movies is Cameron Crowe's Almost Famous.
Yes.
He has a new series called Roadies, which he is co-writing, co-directing, co-producing with Winnie Holtzman, who 30 years ago gave Claire Danes her big start in a TV show called My So-Called Life, and since then is also the co-author of a little Broadway show you might have heard of called Wicked.
Oh.
Which is only played to a gazillion people. It comes to the Fox, it looks like every 6 weeks they're playing Wicked out of the Fox. So Winnie Holtzman, pretty successful. Unfortunately, Cameron Crowe hasn't done anything since Almost Famous, which was, what, 10, 15 years ago?
Oh, yeah, at least, yeah.
He 2001,
yeah.
Something like that. So this this TV show, Roadies, has Luke Wilson and Carla Gugino, who at one point was going to be my future ex-bride, after she did a TV series called Karen Sisko, which was based on the George Clooney J-Lo movie Out of Sight.
Okay.
Which was really, really good. J-Lo played played Karen Sisko, an Elmore Leonard character, in that. And then they made a TV series about it, which only lasted 7 episodes on ABC, but I loved it and I fell in love with her. So Luke Wilson and Carla Gugino star in this as the kind of the tour manager and the production manager of a group of roadies who are working for this group called the Staten House Band as they go from city to city. And Ron White from the
Blue Collar Comedy
Tour, he's in there as one of the head roadies as well. And I got to see 3 episodes of this. They sent me a link to press screening of 3 episodes of this. And holy cow, I really, really, really wanted to like it. Because I like all of those people I just mentioned. Here's the problem. The life of a roadie is not that exciting. It's just not. You just go from place to place and
put up
the riggings and break things down afterwards, and you deal with the band and the egos, and you tune the guitars, and you set things up for the lights and the sound, the woman who does the sound, and all that sort of stuff. And so they're creating conflict where there isn't any. Now, workplace dramas and comedies can be very successful. I don't think this one's going to be. The conflict in the first few episodes is who's going to get fired. And there's a British character who's brought in who is supposed to be the antagonist. But pretty quickly you realize they don't care about this guy, so we don't care about this guy. And nothing that goes on with any of the other people, those I mentioned, or the other actors in this, really, really matter all that much. The only thing that makes it worthwhile is this band, the Staten House Band, for some reason they can't keep an opening act. That's part of the design of this, so that they can, so that Cameron Crowe can call up his music buddies and have them in there. And so there's a group called The Head and the Heart. They're featured in the first one. There's another one called Rain Wolf. They're featured in the second one. Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac is featured in the third one. And by the way, not a bad job of acting by Lindsey Buckingham when he's offstage interacting with these people. All of that is interesting, and the performances are pretty good. You don't really get to see the Staten House Band because it's not about them. It's about the people behind the scenes. And as I say, not worth your time.
No, that's a shame.
It's going to debut on Sunday night on Showtime. And you know what it reminds me of? The HBO series Vinyl.
Hey!
That debuted last year. And I heard this week HBO, which had promised a second season for that show even before the first season aired.
Yes.
They decided this week, not so much.
Yep. Do you want to know why?
Yes, I do.
I can tell you why.
Okay.
So Marty Scorsese was involved in this. HBO bet big on it.
Mick Jagger?
Yeah. Oh, huge.
The two of them worked on it for 10 years.
And a huge cast.
And Terrence Winter, who did Boardwalk Empire.
Mm-hmm. $100 million budget for the first season. It cost him $100 million. Mm-hmm. I believe the first episode, I want to say, if I remember correctly, it cost north of $50 million, close to $60 million for one episode.
It was a two-hour episode, and it was an hour and 45 minutes too long.
Yes. So it cost that much. It peaked at viewers with its premiere. It's 765,000 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then went down. The first week, it lost 13%. Then off that number, it lost another 20%.
Mm-hmm.
It rebounded in the second half when, like Frank loves it, when they talked to their friends and got a few of their friends to watch it. But it never hit that premiere number. Mm-hmm. So all told, it did about 6.5 million viewers for $100 million.
Cumulative.
Game of Thrones this season costs about $100 million mm-hmm. to make. It's their most expensive season yet.
Mm-hmm.
For their last episode here, episode 9 out of 10 this season, they got 23 million viewers.
That's a little bit more than Vinyl ever got.
So that is why HBO made the wise decision to say Vinyl, fun but no fun. And This is going to be one of their one of these shows that you have this one friend who's like, oh, I can't believe you never watched it. It was so great.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't.
I did watch it. I watched that first two-hour episode, and I said, all right, I'm going to give it one more. And halfway through the second episode, I said, I can't take this anymore.
Yeah.
Again, I like the people involved, but...
It's not a reflection on them. It's just not a good show.
But how about HBO learning a lesson here? You know, 4 years ago, they put on a series called Luck. You remember this?
Yes.
It was from David Milch and Michael Mann, and it starred Dustin Hoffman and Dennis Farina and Nick Nolte. It was about the world of horse racing.
Yeah.
And before it went on the air, HBO committed to a second season and then didn't even make it through the first season before they yanked it off the air.
Yeah.
It was not a good TV show. And then last year, they had another show called The Brink, which was a so-called comedy Afghanistan War or Iraq War or something like that. Yeah, Tim Robbins and Jack Black. Again, they committed to a second season of that show before The Brink even debuted. Now, here's the thing. That means that people at HBO are seeing the show and loving it, right?
Yes.
Because before they show it to us, they all have seen it.
So they were burned a long time ago by this. There was a show called Rome on HBO, and if you haven't seen this, watch it. There's two seasons of it. It's very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Rome was very expensive to make and had a long lead time because it's almost a decade old, and it took a long time. Season one, they weren't certain what they wanted to do with it. It started to pick up steam. So the creators of Rome said, if you want to do season two and three, we need the answer now, because if you don't approve both, it will be off the air for a full year before we have season three ready.
Mm-hmm.
And HBO said, no, just do season two and end it. It turned out to be their biggest show that year. It was an enormous success for season two, but they couldn't make season three because they would have lost all their momentum. So I think they're still burned a bit by that, and they want to make certain they don't lose anything. And they're looking for something big. Game of Thrones has, if you believe the rumors, this last episode this season and 13 episodes over two half seasons.
Well, when is the season finale? It's this Sunday, isn't it?
This Sunday. So we'll see. You could essentially see Game of Thrones over the course of two episodes put up 40 million viewers compared to 6.5 million
Over the entire run, cumulative of Vinyl. Here's my point. Somebody in that HBO office that watches these shows before we get to see them should be able to say, you know what? This didn't really work. Let's not commit to a second season.
Or just show it to one friend, and they'll be like, it's not good. Like, you've got to have that friend who's honest with you.
Show it to somebody who doesn't work for HBO.
This is garbage. Like, what are you doing? Stop now.
I will volunteer, by the way, to be that friend. Show it to me, and I'll tell you. Because I could have told you halfway through episode one of Vinyl, don't commit to a second season of this.
Yeah, so Frank's going to be sad on Monday, I think. He loved this show.
Yeah. Sunday night on ABC, they're starting their Fun and Games block.
Yeah.
Hour-long episodes of Celebrity Family Feuds, hosted by Steve Harvey. Then an hour of the $100,000 Pyramid, hosted by Michael Strahan, that legendary game show host, Michael Strahan.
Yeah, no kidding. That's weird.
And then another legendary game show host, Alec Baldwin, hosts The Match Game.
That's going to be awful.
Complete with 70s music. I've seen the promo for it. They use the womp, 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 womp.
Horrible.
Music from there, and we'll see.
My question is: is he going to have that long microphone?
He does have the long microphone.
The Gene Rayburn news.
Yes, and the carrot. Because I've seen the promo, I can tell you the contestants are on that round table that comes around and reveals them.
Gosh.
And the six stars are there.
Contestant.
Anybody of note on the panel?
I didn't see who was on the panel. They didn't really take good shots.
A homemaker from Nelson North Dakota. There.
Sorry,
Charles Nelson Reilly going to be
no,
there?
No, Charles Nelson Reilly's dead.
Oh, they could still bring him back.
Check that.
He's dead.
He's dead, okay.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to Tell the Truth when that comes back. They're rebooting that.
Yeah.
It's already on the air.
Oh, it is. How have I missed it?
It's not on in St. Louis. It's a syndicated show that doesn't air here.
This is the new one, right? The one they just started?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, never mind.
Now, here's the thing about Match Game. When we're talking about it with nostalgia in our voices, Match Game PM and all the rest of that, was on in the 1970s.
Yeah, Match Game 74.
Yes.
Yeah.
You've got two generations of me. Ian was not alive when the great episodes of Match Game
aired.
But we watched them all.
You've seen them because of GSN.
Yes.
Yeah. So I wonder if there will really be nostalgic viewing by a new generation. I mean, how's this going to do 18 to 34 on Sunday night?
I don't know,
but they're running those 3 hours all together. And we mentioned that there were four movies opening this weekend, and we only reviewed two. You gave Independence Day Resurgence 4 out of 10, and I gave The Shallows 8 out of 10. The other movies are Free State of Jones and The Neon Demon. I've only got 1 minute. Can you summarize them?
Free State of Jones is based on the true story of Newton Knight, a man in the South in the Civil War era that led a... essentially revolution against the South from the South. And The Neon Demon is by Nicholas Winding Refn. I never get to say that name, so it's fun to say. It's a teenage girl heads to L.A., and this group of older women try to suck the youth out of her. It's a horror movie. He does creepy, weird, surreal movies. But if you like his stuff, Drive, Bronson, you'll like this.
Oh, he made Drive?
We made Drive and Bronson.
Ooh, that's a Ryan Gosling movie I absolutely hated.
Ugh.
All right, that's our showbiz stuff for this week here on the Big 550 KTRS. Next hour, the Harris Challenge, Mike Evans, and Knuckleheads in the News. Plus, your news at the top of the hour after this.
Meet me.
And it's time to get another check on traffic with Frank Ladd.
Hey, Dan, they've cleared the stall southbound 55 at 3200 South Broadway, although we do have a new incident now. The car blocking the ramp car sideways, southbound 55, the ramp from Highway M to southbound 55, and that's in a long stretch of heavy traffic from north of M to the roadwork near Highway Z, eastbound Highway 64, west of 141, got a crash report in there. Then your heavy McKnight up through Big Bend, westbound 64, on the brakes, Vandeventer to Big Bend, and then again, Wake Haven out past Lake St. Louis towards Wentzville, westbound Highway 70, seeing those normal delays, 141 to 5th Street, as well as coming out of the city, passing a Riverview Jennings Station, that stretch there. And we've got reports of an incident eastbound on the Mutual Bridge. It looks like it could be on the east side, on the Illinois side of the river, on the Mutual Veterans Bridge. This update is brought to you by Staples. Dick Staples, when you have to move for low price and a wide variety of packing, shipping, and moving supplies for both business and personal needs. Everything you need to move at the right price, Staples, make more happen. Frank Ladd with KTRS Vincent Mortgage Airborne Traffic.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage, 314-839-9999, NMLS number 225095. Are you planning your vacation? Why not take Larry Connors with you?
Hey, can you buy me something? You know, I like ice cream. I like popcorn. I like can we stop? Hey, look, can we stop over there?
No.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
No. No. No, we mean take KTRS with you on your vacation via the KTRS app.
Does this mean I'm not really going?
Just go to your app store, search KTRS, download the app, and listen to the Big 550 with crystal clarity wherever you go. And it's absolutely free. Get it now and tap the app to get the Big 550, no matter where in the world you are.
You've been lied to. Lied to by corrupt Washington politicians and the Wall Street propaganda machine. Hi, I'm Inc. magazine best-selling author Brett Kitchen, and I want to give you a free copy of my brand new book, Wealth Beyond Wall Street, because we all know another market crash could be right around the corner. After losing 35% in my IRA in the crash years ago, I said enough, and since then I discovered a way to grow money potentially double digits, reduce taxes dramatically, and also have my money protected when the next stock market crash hits. When the next market crash hits, you lose nothing. Call Wealth Beyond Wall Street now to get your free copy and talk with a specialist to discover this little-known strategy to get potential double-digit growth during good years and never lose when the next stock market crash hits, all while building a tax-advantaged retirement. Call 800-203-9898 to discover this asset that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney use to grow wealthy. Plus, get one of just 97 free books left. We even cover shipping and handling, no credit card required. Call 1-800-203-9898. 1-800-203-9898.